The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Monday, March the 10th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled, "Is the Trump Presidency Driving the Worldwide Liberal Agenda?" And the time is 7:54 a.m. here in London, making it 3:54 on the East Coast of America, rather, and 54 minutes past midnight on the West Coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. And I'm going to have to remember these time changes for the next few weeks, because I understand your clocks in America sprung forward at the weekend, and our clocks, just getting my diary, don't spring forward until the last Saturday of the month, or the early hours of Sunday morning on the 30th of March. So we're an hour closer to the United States time. You've caught up with us by 1 hour. So generally, West Coast time is 8 hours behind us, and East Coast is 5. Now that is 7 and 4, respectively. So when I used to do the David Duke show, at this time of year, I would be recording at 3 o'clock my time rather than 4 o'clock my time, as it was obviously going live. And other shows that I used to do, I never really went live, but I would have set times I would call people. It was generally 9 a.m. Eastern when I was doing my guest shows, and I would have to be doing that at, so that would be 2 p.m. in the afternoon, so I'd be doing it at 1 p.m. So that would annoy Amanda, because I couldn't see her on the Tuesday, because we usually met up for lunch, and we couldn't have lunch and get back for me to have enough time for lunch, unless we were eating at like 11:30 or something like that. But anyway, on the guest shows as well, I mention a lot of people on shows that I listen to, stuff like that, and most of the people that I did guest shows with, I think if I brought the guest shows back, I would probably go back to them, because I work well with them, and I think that when I look, and some of them are still working, doing their own shows, people like Dr. Patrick Slattery, Mark Dankoff, etc., they're still well worth listening to, and we may have different opinions on certain things, but that was the whole purpose of the guest show, to get theirs and not bombard you with mine. Now all you really get is mine, but I still mention these people because I have a lot of respect for their work, still listen to their shows, and if we both have a different opinion, only one of us can be right. It might be me or it might be them, but the end needs to be determined by you, the listener. I think it's important that people put shows out with different points of view. Hence today's show title, "Is the Trump Presidency Driving the Worldwide Liberal Agenda?" And you will see from the show image that this actually relates to an article from the BBC that we're going to get into later. I'm going to read it out to you, but essentially my overview of it is they could funnel everything into Trump. That they keep saying, oh, Trump, they make out that he's some sort of eccentric, oddball type of thing outside of the United States. And many platforms like CNN inside of the United States do, he's a racist, all this sort of stuff. Well, what could be happening with the Trump idea is we know that, for example, immigration into white nations is at the top of the elite's agenda for some reason. I think I know the reason because I've read the Bible, but that's by the by. So if they can get Trump doing stupid things and also being very hardline on immigration, they could then market that to the other nations and say, well, you know, not cracking down on immigration is a bad idea because Trump does it. Do you see what I mean? So do you see how they could be using that? And I'm going to give you other examples of that in today's show. So anyway, that being said, regarding things that I've been listening to over the last few days, I did have a break, really, from shows. I always recommend having a break. And what I did is on Saturday, I was in a charity shop, surprise, surprise, with Amanda, and they had 5 DVDs for £1.50. So I'm looking through, and I picked out Lost in Space with William Hurt and Gary Oldman. Never seen it. Didn't end up seeing it. Watched a bit into it. Fast-forwarded through it. I thought it was boring. I then saw Con Air. Got Con Air. And that actually was really good. And I think I'd seen it. Well, I know I'd seen it, in fact, before I went to Las Vegas. It came out in 97. And it was a really sort of fun film. All sorts of things going on. And I liked it in the end because there's a big dramatic scene at the end in Las Vegas. Essentially, it was... and I went to Las Vegas in 2011, I believe. So I'm always... When I watch CSI, the original series, I'm always looking out for Treasure Island because that was where I stayed. And that was in a shot, one of the shots in... the end of this film, so that was nice to see. And all about a plane full of convicts that, surprise surprise, gets taken over and hijacked by the convicts and what happens. So interesting, fun film. You're not going to get any of these highbrow film critics saying anything nice about it, but if you want some mindless action, this was full of it. The film Fame, Amanda saw that on the rack. She says, oh, I want that one. So that was added to the five. That left me with two. And the other two that I got was The Shawshank Redemption, which, folks, I saw it years ago. And I've since discovered that IMDb, for example, rank it the top film ever, higher than The Godfather. And they're not alone. A lot of people think The Shawshank Redemption is the best film ever. You look at the Wikipedia page and all these different people commenting on it. I'm not one of them. But I wanted, after I saw that, at some point I thought, I want to see that film again. You know, there's something I'm missing here. And I did watch it again, and I just thought it was very slow and at times boring. And I've seen a lot of better prison films, including, I might add, The Green Mile, which was also, like The Shawshank Redemption, directed by Frank Darabont and written by Stephen King. So there you go. And finally, I picked up Reservoir Dogs Special Edition, 2-disc edition. And the reason I wanted this is I've already got it on Blu-ray, but I can't play Blu-rays in my computer because it's a DVD player and not a Blu-ray player, and I'm not going to suddenly buy a Blu-ray player for the computer. But so if I want to record a director's commentary, for example, I need the DVD. So certain things I'm having to sort of buy again to get the commentary. And also there are a lot of other extras in the second disc's original interviews with Tarantino and cast, Class of 92, Sundance interviews, Tarantino on his influences, an introduction to film noir. Now, all of these things, along with the director's commentary, I recorded in real time yesterday, and they came to like 4.5 hours. Now, there's no way I would sit and watch in front of a telly for 4.5 hours for this sort of content, but I'm happy and intrigued to listen to it, see if it's any good. So, funnily enough, it had a little booklet in it. It's nice when you get some of these DVDs with a nice little book in there as well. So I'm reading that through, and as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, this style sounds familiar. Did Kim Newman write this? He's one of my favourite film critics. He did some very amusing film commentaries for Halloween 2 and Halloween 3. I played a clip of one of them on here, and you can find them online. He did them with a guy called Stephen Jones. So if you haven't heard them, even if you don't like the films, it's quite amusing listening to them talk about them the way that they do, in an affectionate but humorous manner. So anyway, the last section of the booklet, it says, Tarantino proceeded to script and direct Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, and two volumes of Kill Bill, while his scripts for True Romance, Natural Born Killers, and From Dusk Till Dawn finally got made. There have been missteps for Rooms, most of his acting gigs, and like everyone from Orson Welles to Steven Soderbergh, who clicks first time out, there is a sense that he'll never be able to equal his first feature. Reservoir Dogs wasn't what anyone was expecting, while all his subsequent films have to try harder to be as surprising. Well, for me, this was written in 2004 by, yes, Kim Newman. It is his best film. And his second best film is Pulp Fiction. And his next best film after that is Jackie Brown. And they, I don't know about Kill Bill, because I would have absolutely no interest in watching a film of that nature. And for the likes of things like Inglourious Basterds and The Hateful Eight, that was just Inglourious Basterds and what was the other one? One about slavery, I think. This was all just propaganda films by the Weinsteins, in my opinion, that Tarantino quite happily bought into. But that's just me, and I wouldn't really watch it. I did see Once Upon a Time in America, his most recent film, again, because I found it on a DVD for 50p, so I thought, well, I may as well buy it, end up giving it to my hairdresser, funnily enough. And wasn't impressed, I'm afraid. So there you go. But that's what I'm going to be listening to today. Got these different things to play. Okay, so let's move on to see how the news has been developing over the last few days. So first up, we're going to get into the article I mentioned that I derived today's show title from. It is a BBC article entitled How Trump's Threats Have Changed Everything About Canada's Politics. And I see that they've changed the image in the title now to one of Mark Carney, who is a front runner to be the new leader of Canada, and he was the Bank of England governor for a while. Here's the article. If you had asked Canadians a few months ago who would win the country's next general election, most would have predicted a decisive victory for the Conservative Party. That outcome does not look so certain now. In the wake of US President Donald Trump's threats against Canada, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's Liberal Party has surged in the polls, shrinking the double-digit lead their Conservative rivals have held steadily since mid-2023. The dramatic change in the country's political landscape reflects how Trump's tariffs and repeated calls to make Canada the 51st state have fundamentally altered Canadian voters' priorities. Trump's rhetoric has pushed away all of the other issues that were top of the mind for Canadians before his inauguration on the 20th of January, notes Luke Turgeon, a political science professor at the University of Ottawa. It has even managed to revive the once deeply unpopular Trudeau, whose approval rating has climbed by 12 points since December. So my show title again is The Trump Presidency Driving the Worldwide Liberal Agenda. Well, it's also the way the media portray Trump. And then people think Trump right wing, oh, left wing not so bad. And so whilst in Europe in particular, there's been a rise of these so-called populist parties, and I don't trust any of them as far as I can throw them, because they all jump up and down about immigration, but none of them seem to have heard about Barbara Lerner-Spector, so they're not trustworthy at all, like I said. Could it be the elites are getting a bit worried, so they stick Trump in there, get him to do a lot of strange stuff, and as a result, the left-leaning liberal side of politics in these countries that the elites are concerned about starts picking up steam again. And we'll see how the mainstream media can engineer this as I go through these articles. But that is exactly how I felt when I saw this article yesterday morning. I may be right, I may be wrong, but something else I'm going to throw in. A few years ago, Amanda and I were on one of our Saturday trips, and I went to get a bus from Carshalton, where I was born, to Sutton. And we jumped on this express bus, and we wanted to be at the bottom of Sutton, and I thought it would stop at the top and then at the bottom. But actually, it continued to a place called Cheam, which also had some nice charity shops. And so we went round there. But the important thing is we didn't plan to go there. So it was all completely, oh, I made a mistake. Right, we've got to get the train back to Sutton. Stuff like that. But when I got there, and we're walking down from the bus stop, who do I see but a guy who I was good friends with, probably hadn't seen for 10 years, shared a apartment with him for quite a few months, I think, and then my girlfriend from Germany moved over and we got our own place. Just bumped into him, started chatting to him, and he's quite an entertaining, funny guy, and we were talking about different stuff, and it was around the time of the vaccines, because we sort of mentioned, he said, well, I didn't really want to get it, but I got it in the end, you know, that sort of thing. And then he made some comment about Trump. He said, but this Trump, talking about injecting yourself with bleach. Do you remember when he said that sort of comment? Maybe we can put bleach into the body and get rid of the virus that way. And all these people around him were sort of looking at the ground and smirking, stuff like that. All these so-called medical experts. This is something from a guy who, his main interest was sport, going out, meeting friends, going to the pub. He wasn't really into current affairs. But you see, that one thing stayed with him. And I think that that's important. You see the sort of things that stay with people. And in the end, that person or someone like him might lump that in together with other things that the elites don't want people to be doing, like stopping mass immigration. And think, well, the sort of people that are against mass immigration are people that want to inject yourself with bleach. So maybe we need to go to the other side, the more liberal side. That is just an opinion. Okay, and I'm going to add to it with this. Remember we were talking about had a Daily Mail article recently? Well, actually, it says read more under the headline. People who believe in conspiracies are more likely to be nasty. Well, this was all about starting off with Flat Earth. So all conspiracy people believe in Flat Earth. Well, the headline here is, are you a Flat Earther? You're probably insecure, scientists say. So last week they're saying we're nasty if we're conspiracy theorists. Now we're insecure. And one thing it makes me think about is I've never really worried about Flat Earth. Whether it's flat or round, doesn't mean nothing to me. All right, it's still going to take me as long to fly to wherever I'm going if I wanted to jump on a plane again, which I very much do not, while these people that run the world are still running it. But nevertheless, I was quite intrigued by the comments at the bottom of the articles. Certainly one, we'll see if it's still there. So, and one other point, going back to Flat Earth, the fact that the Daily Mail have mentioned this twice now in less than a week, I'm starting to think maybe the Earth is flat. Why are they suddenly, oh, you know, if you believe in a flat Earth, you must be insecure. If you believe in a flat Earth, you must be nasty. It's almost like they're worried about people believing the flat Earth. So if the Daily Mail are worried about people believing in something, it's probably because that's true. I don't know why it would matter if people thought the Earth was flat or round, as I said before. But if we go to the comments, it diverts to the newest, when generally it diverts to the best rated. I think, I might be wrong. But have a listen to this comment. Best rated, 49 upvotes, 8 downvotes, so not a well-read article, but this was from Cologne 2792, the southwest of somewhere, United Kingdom, 2 days ago. If I was cynical, I might think that promoting the flat earth theory and lumping all conspiracy theorists into the same classification of nutters would be a very effective way to quell dissent and disagreement with government ideology. Indeed, Cologne 2792, it would, wouldn't it? So, here's one below this. This has got 38 upvotes, but 10 downvotes. Oh, I wonder why we've got an extra downvote. From Professor Pat Pending, Mexborough, United Kingdom, 2 days ago. So conspiracy theory just equals flat earth? What about the population replacement one? Where our Western governments in lockstep are all flooding our countries with immigrants, until very soon we'll be the minority, and then totally replaced altogether. Yeah, I guess it makes me insecure, witnessing everything going downhill fast. So there you go. Maybe this is one of their trial balloon articles to see what people really come back with and see if the propaganda is working, which I believe, sadly, on the majority of people it is. Next one, how high-vis workmen digging up roads were in fact criminal gang... were in fact criminal gangs stealing electricity worth millions to power more than 100 secret Albanian-run cannabis farms producing £21 million worth of illicit drugs. So this sounds like this is an Albanian organised operation. Well, when you read the article, all the people that were running this company, because yes, it was a company called Elevate Civilis and Utilities, they had their own vans all branded up and that, you can look at it. They've got pictures of all these people, and they all look white British to me, with white British names. But the cannabis plants that they were running, they were having them run by Albanians that had allegedly said they were tracked into the country. So, again, it seems to be that they're trying to get this riling people up against the immigrants, which makes me worry if they've got a let's you and them fight plan somewhere down the road. Move on to... The Lord of the Flies van dwellers, how tensions have reached boiling point inside Britain's caravan cities, with residents fighting amongst themselves or being targeted by locals who torch homes and smash windows. So this has been happening in Bristol, I knew about because I listened to the Tony Gosling and Martin Summers programme, not the BCFM politics show, which incidentally they did do an episode. I couldn't find it on the weekend, so there's problems with the website politicsthisweek.wordpress.com, but it is up there if you navigate to the radioforall.com link somewhere on the site. So the caravan cities are springing up across locations such as Bristol, Brighton and Glastonbury. I went to Glastonbury once and I can't imagine going there and having it filled with these sort of caravans and stuff. Now, you feel sorry for people who can't afford to live any other way, but the people who live there have probably moved there because it's a nice picturesque place. It's somewhere where I believe Jesus Christ walked. It should be honoured for that. It should be kept. Its heritage should be preserved for that. It should be looked after for that. And that's my opinion. I can't offer a great deal else because otherwise they'll say, oh, we want to do you for hate speech to people who live in caravans. I just see a breaking news pop up from the Daily Mail. Russia expels two British diplomats from Moscow embassy for spying. I believe that we jailed some Bulgarian people last week who were allegedly spying for Russia. And they made some laughable comments in the article about how these people were seducing people to get information. I'm like, yeah, how about all these British police officers that went undercover into these environmental groups I reported on recently and were having sex with the women that they were supposed to be spying on and having kids with them and then just wandering off and leaving them in the lurch because they had families of their own. They've really, you know, so hypocritical. It's just unbelievable. Then we've got the English city where a staggeringly high percentage of women are married to their cousins and how it can have terrible consequences for their children as Keir Starmer signals he will block laws seeking to ban the practice. Now, it says here in Bradford, one of Northern England's biggest cities, nearly half, 46% of the female Pakistani community were in a consanguineous relationship, meaning they have a common ancestor, a 2024 study found. Basically, a senior Tory, Richard Holden, is it? Says Mr. Holden here, said that he's got a bill that wants to ban the practice. And he said, a marriage between first cousins carries significant health issues, many of which aren't even knowable until post-birth. So there you go. He's got the Prohibited Degrees of Relationship Bill, which is due to return to the House of Commons on Friday ahead of its scheduled second reading. And Keir Starmer will not be supporting it. Okay, let's move on to... Foreign prisoners are now costing British taxpayers a seven-figure sum every day, new figures reveal. So basically, there are 10,500 foreign prisoners being held in jails across England and Wales. Each of them costs more than £50,000 a year. And these 10,500 foreign prisoners amount to 12% of all the prisoners in the UK. And here are the nationality with the most prisoners in the UK. Albanians lead the unwanted league table with more than 1,200 inmates. Poles are second with 911, followed by Romanians, 729, Irish, 634, and Jamaicans, 370. So there you go. Then we move on to fury at Tesco's new scales to catch self-checkout shoplifters. Well, what they've got, I use self-checkout sometimes. I never noticed my bills going down, by the way, the fact that I'm doing the checkout operator's job. All right, but what I generally do is I go to whatever's quicker. If it's going to be quicker to go through where someone's checking you out, I'll go there. But what they've got here sounds like some people have been either deliberately or unwittingly missing scanning certain items when they put it through the scanner, and consequently technically shoplifting, doing the supermarket out of money. So they've got this new idea that they've introduced in some stores where you put your trolley on a weighing scale first, and then the machine that you scan it through will be able to work out if you've not scanned any items, because the weight of the scanned items won't match the weight of the trolley. Some shoppers are annoyed about this. Well, get this, right? I had a guy come over to do some work for me recently, only a few weeks ago. And he said, "Andy, you won't believe what I saw this morning." And he filmed it on his phone. And a guy just walks into a supermarket called Sainsbury's, and he just starts loading up his bag. And the security staff all stood around him, and we can't do anything. We can't touch him. And we report it to the police, and he comes in every day, apparently, and gets loads of stuff, and they can't do anything about it. Well, why can't they? They're security. They should be able to have a license to detain him, hold him, have him arrested. But this is another reason why all our food bills are going up, because of people like this. Oh, we can't touch him. Oh, he might say this, that, and the other. I remember years ago, I was a kid, I was walking down Oxford Street in London, and suddenly out of this shop, some kid ran out with this guy behind him, chasing him all down Oxford Street. The kid got away in the end. But they were going at some speed. Do you know what I mean? But what's the point of having security staff? What is the point if they're not allowed to detain the people that they're supposed to be securing the shop from? It's amazing to me. But this is the society that we live in now. We had someone else, some other left-leaning MP, trying to put some law through. Oh, you know, you can't defend yourself in your home. You might injure the person breaking in. It sounds to me like they want us to be more targeted. I mean, I'm targeted anyway as a TI. But they want all of you to be in more danger from people rather than what most of us would want. And that is a society where these things don't happen because the deterrent is sufficient to stop them from happening. But unfortunately, the elites are more worried about people who say things that they don't like. So they have to stop policing matters such as this, which is what 99.9% of the people want the police on the streets to do, and instead use the prisons and use the legal system against people that the elites feel threatened by, because they're exposing the scam that they've been unleashing upon us for hundreds of years. That is the way the system works. Okay, so let's move on to campaigners' outrage over deeply cynical decision to exclude over 80s from potentially life-saving saving vaccine rollout. Now, this relates to the respiratory syncytial virus called RSV. I don't think I pronounced that properly. And essentially, the vaccine was shown in trials to reduce the risk of severe RSV symptoms by 80%. And in the US, Canada and Australia, they've been offering it to the over 75s for the past year. But the NHS in the UK ruled it would offered only to those aged between 75 and 79, despite over 80s being more at risk of death and severe disease from RSV. Now, critics are saying this is discriminatory against the over 80s, and it's almost as if the government are saying, hurry up and die. The government are saying, oh, we don't know if enough testing's been done. Well, it's not caused a problem for the US, Canada and Australia, and it certainly didn't cause any problem for the COVID vaccine, did it, that was never tested. There was no issues there, was there, British government or any government you can name around the world? No problem with that. But from my point of view, I think that it's probably doing them a favour, because I wouldn't trust any sort of vaccines. I wouldn't trust anything these people want to put into your bodies, because as I repeatedly demonstrate on this show, your government is not your friend. I'm not just talking about the British government. I'm talking about most governments around the world are not your friend. And those that were, people like the Libyan government, for the Libyan people that would spend money on their people, put them through university for free, stuff like that, they're very soon targeted by the elites for destruction, because we can't have that. They probably, that money could be going to us. We could seize that country and we could get that money for ourselves. That's how they operate. Okay, so let's move on to one female prison officer even, sacked nearly every month over flings with male inmates, prompting questions over whether they can be trusted in jails holding the opposite sex. Now, this was something that crossed my mind, but I was fearful of saying, in case it breached my democratic right to free speech, so generously given to me by the UK government. But someone in this article, I'll scroll down, there's always loads of pictures in these articles, so I need to find where it says. Kevin Moore, retired detective chief superintendent and former head of CID at Sussex Police, questioned why female officers are based in male prisons. He said, "To my mind, most of these illicit relationships could be prevented straight away if we only had male officers in male prisons and female officers in female prisons. Whilst this does not deal with same-sex relationships, my understanding is that such events account for only a small number of such matters." Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think many of you were thinking. But, of course, you try and do that and someone will pop up and, oh, this is discrimination, this is this, that and the other. So that's why people are seeking out strong leaders like Trump in America. Because they're like, we're sick of all these people. We're sick of rule for the minority. We want rule for the majority. All right, that's what we used to have. That's what democracy is supposed to be, isn't it? Majority rule. So if the majority want people to have free speech and they want burglars to be shoplifting to stop, then the police should have to stop arresting people for their speech and start going after people shoplifting and stopping that from happening. But democracy is obviously a fallacy, because that isn't what happens. And when Trump comes out and says certain things, he doesn't put up with this sort of nonsense. He's just come out and said there are only two genders. Well, I learned that in biology class. It's only some people since then who've come and claimed otherwise and got all these people frightened of disagreeing with them. And that requires a strong leader to say, no, that is not the case. I don't care about your feelings. I care about facts. And facts should come beyond before feelings. So there you go. Okay, let's move on to the last one. And this is another way that the mainstream media really makes you want to reach for the bath bag, you know what I mean? Nigel Farage's poll rating tumbles after Reform leader blames Zelensky for showing no respect during Oval Office bust-up with Donald Trump. Now, for some reason, the mainstream media throughout Europe, not just in the UK, seem to be absolutely addicted to the conflict in the Ukraine. They seem, you know, the idea that anyone would want to challenge Zelensky or anyone would want to bring an end to the conflict seems to be like the worst news they've ever had. It has to be, we have to stand up against it. We have to keep this meat grinder going. That's what seems to be coming out of these people. Well, get how they've spun this story. This is just astonishing the way that they word it. After those surveyed were asked if they liked or disliked each leader, Mr. Farage achieved an average score of 30 in the YouGov poll, compared with minus 30 in the YouGov poll. It's funny, they're all minus figures. So it sounds like they're all hated, but some are hated more than others. So he achieved an average score of minus 30 in the YouGov poll, compared with minus 40 for Labour's Keir Starmer and minus 36 for the Tories' Kemi Badenoch. But following Mr. Farage's remarks about the White House row between Mr. Trump and Mr. Zelensky, in which he blamed the Ukrainian for playing the meeting very badly and bowling in and showing no respect for the US president, the reform chief is now the least popular leader with minus 39. Sakir is up to minus 28 after his support for Mr. Zelensky, whilst Ms. Badenoch is on minus 30. I don't know what this admiration for Zelensky in Ukraine, where it's coming from in the UK mainstream media and throughout the West, it looks like. But there's something there and it stinks. And it's good to see these people open themselves up with this sort of blatantly biased coverage. And again, for me, who are they polling for this? That's the big question. Another question is things like the National Lottery. Do you know anyone who's ever won big prizes on National Lottery? I don't. Could it be possible that certain people that they want to get this money, the big prizes, get the money? And every now and then they'll throw in some unemployed guy or something like that, gets a big win, just to sort of make sure we don't investigate where the big money's going each week? I think that's very possible. And I think that that could have been exactly why the National Lottery was brought in by John Major years ago. Although my other feeling was that they knew that they were going to make the subsequent generations a lot poorer than the previous generation. So, for example, you know, the boomers are wealthy, they've got their own house, they've got a good pension, stuff like that. Whereas the following generation are considered wealthy if they own an iPhone and then they rent everything. So they bought a lottery out in the same way that they pay footballers hundreds of thousands of pounds a week to say, well, look, you can still make a lot of money, buy a ticket or be a footballer. You know, you've all got opportunity, rather than what we used to have, where most, you know, average people would go to work, get a job, get on the property ladder with a little flat, then move up to a little house, then have a family, then move up to a big house, hopefully end up with a detached house. And this was something that your average person could do. It wasn't reserved for the elites. So they had to bring these other things in place when they were going to reserve them for the elites. In the same way that now, they put all this red tape in for people who want to rent things out, stuff like that, and all this red tape for small and medium-sized businesses, because these elites want to own everything. Even your refuse collection service is owned by elites and has been for many years. Okay, let's see how the news is going right now. So we'll move over to Associated Press, apnews.com. Ah, so Canada's next prime minister managed the financial crisis, then Brexit, and now Trump's trade war. So it turns out Mark Carney is going to be the next prime minister of Canada. Ex-central banker to replace Trudeau as Canada's prime minister after winning Liberal Party vote. I refer you again to today's show title. Let's move on to BBC News, see what's going on over there. Top 10 most read articles. Of course, they're fawning and magnifying Mark Carney at the top. Another wonderful Liberal as well. Couple who discover migrant in motorhome are fined. So have a click on that. So they discovered a migrant had clung to the back of their vehicle all the way home from France, and they were given a £1,500 fine for it. They received the fine from the Home Office for failing to check that no clandestine entrant was concealed in the motorhome. The pair said they were drafting an appeal. The Home Office said penalties were designed to target negligence rather than criminality. So are they being fined for all these people they let in come on these little boats? They certainly aren't being fined for the nearly million that I believe came in last year legally. So again, but, you know, if you talk about these sort of things, then you must be a flat earther. You must be nasty or insecure. Let's move on to Daily Mail, see what's going on the top there, because I think that we've been going for quite a while today, coming up to the 40-minute mark. Just waiting for the Daily Mail to actually load up. I don't quite know what's going on here. Our well-meaning radical leftist neighbours invited hundreds of migrants into their theatre. Now we face bankruptcy because they refuse to leave. So this is that Gate Lyrique Theatre that I reported on recently about. They had some performance for asylum seekers, I think late last year in December. And when they asked them to leave, they said, no, we like it in here, we're going to live in this theatre. And they haven't left since. And yeah, it's lovely to see the leftists steal themselves the bloody nose. And yeah, hoisted by their own petard would be an appropriate comment to make here. All right, let's jump over to the independent media, that most of which has never heard of Barbara Lowell Spector, I hasten to add. RT.com. Ukraine hasn't shown it wants peace, according to Trump. The US president has said he is waiting for a commitment to ceasefire negotiations, and Canada will win trade war with US next, PM says. Let's move on to rents.com. See what's going on over here. Scroll down. Russia threatens to spill British blood in latest warning if the UK were to send troops to Ukraine in a peacekeeping mission. That's the top story. It links to an article from endtimesheadlines.org. But I am familiar with some statement I heard somewhere coming out of Russia. But what they were saying is that they would target any British peacekeepers in the Ukraine. They're not going to target the UK directly. So people like myself are safe for the moment. Let's move on to halturnerradioshow.com. See what's going on over there. There's a covert intel article about Egypt, so you have to pay for that. Iran issues final warning to US and Israel. Now, I saw this yesterday, went up March the 9th. Basically, what's happened is the Iran government has said an attack on Iran is tantamount to the destruction of all US bases in the region and the destruction of all Israeli nuclear facilities. And this is as a result of Donald Trump's letter to Ayatollah Khomeini seeking to engage Iran in nuclear negotiations. And Trump said in the letter, apparently, that if Iran does not enter negotiations, it may get bombed. So they said, if we do get bombed, then we're going to destroy all the US bases in the region and all of Israel's nuclear facilities. Hal Turner ends the article saying this situation could literally explode onto the world without any warning within days. Let's move on to earthnewspaper.com. Mark R. Elsis website. Oh, he's got a new banner at the top. It says power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that phrase, and it's very striking at the top of the website here, looking very good there. So let's scroll down and let's see what the music of the day is. Oh no, actually, book of the day, the Leo Frank case, The Lynching of a Guilty Man. That's by the Nation of Islam. They did a very good series on slavery. Well, I say series, there were three volumes set, but it was only the first volume that was worth reading, to be quite honest. The others were nowhere near as good. So, oh, there is music of the day. And it relates to today, March the 10th. On March the 10th, 1977, the Sex Pistols signed with A&M Records following their controversial departure from EMI over their bad behaviour. While the punk pioneers privately inked the contract one day earlier, the label held a press conference outside Buckingham Palace where they took part in a public signing ceremony. Afterward, the band celebrated with a boozy party at the label's offices where all kinds of mayhem ensued, including bassist Johnny Rotten verbally abusing staff. Well, no, that would be Steve Jones. Johnny Rotten was the lead singer. And Sid Vicious smashing a toilet bowl and cutting his foot open. 2 days later, the band got in a fight in a club that saw Rotten threatening the life of a record executive. And on March the 16th, A&M terminated their contract with the band, paying them a £75,000 settlement fee. One thing that they did do here is during that time, they pressed probably the rarest record ever. Although Jean-Michel Jarre made a record once called Music for Supermarkets. He pressed it onto one album, LP, whatever, vinyl, 12-inch, destroyed all the master tapes and sold just that one copy. So, yeah, that's probably the rarest record. Well, there might be some that are equal to it, but there's only one copy. Quite an interesting thing to do there. But I understand, looking into this, that only about, I think, 50 were pressed, if that. Most of them were destroyed, or supposed to be. And the people that were supposed to destroy them, they took them home and stuff like that. So it's difficult to know how many are out there, but unfortunately, it's since been bootlegged unofficially, and also bootlegged officially, because the band themselves, you can go onto eBay and you can find some Sex Pistols God Save the Queen on A&M 7-inch singles, and they go for a lot of money. I should have bought one at the time when it came out, but and they got all sorts of different colour vinyls you can buy them on, and I thought about, do I want one and put it on my wall, but I thought, well, it's not an original and I'm not really that into that song and stuff like that. But I knew a shop that had one once called Beano's, which is no longer in existence. It was in a place called Croydon in South London, and they said, we've got it just for the shop, we're not going to sell it. And I went in there, well, I didn't go there that often, but next time I went in there, it wasn't there anymore. So someone must have just gone in and just said, kept offering them until they couldn't refuse because they had the money and it was that rare an item. Okay, let's move on to censored.news, Mike Adams' news aggregate website. There didn't seem much update. I think I'd reported on this on Saturday. Second headline down, less than half in the US now sympathetic towards Israelis. I believe that that was the same headline in the same place on Saturday, as I recall. So we'll scroll down to the expose. Now, this is something I looked at yesterday. Syria's new Islamist regime escalates the persecution of Christians as fears of massacres by jihadists grow. Now, in the mainstream media, they picked up somewhere on this that there was about 10% of Syrians, I believe, are Sunni Muslims, and the majority are Shia Muslims. And one, the Shias don't like the Sunnis, and apparently it was them that were being targeted. But here it says Christians were being targeted. Now, one thing that Assad did when he was in power was he was well known to protect the Christian minority in the country. I find it interesting that any mainstream reports of this, which are, I only recall that one, it says it's the Sunni Muslims being targeted, not the Christians. We know how much the elites loathe, detest, hate, I don't think I can think of a strong enough word, would like to eradicate Christians and Christianity. So this, for me, when I saw Syria fall, my main concern were for the Christians in that country, because they're the people that are always in the elite's crosshairs. Okay, so let's finish off with the Before It's News top 10. Wait for this to load up. Scroll down. Number 10. Went up 8 hours ago, 100 people viewing. We all have a part to play in this on the fringe. Picture of Trump there. Number 9. Went up 5 hours ago, 108 people viewing. WTPN situation update. Trump wins again. March, Benjamin Fulford, Doge vax, the storm has, and the headline runs out. Number 8, went up 3 hours ago, 120 people viewing. Estionon dropping never before heard Trump intel. It's mind blowing. I'm just not interested, folks. Number 7, went up 11 hours ago, 145 people viewing. Wano Savin, drop bombshell, the plan, Doge, IRS, and the banks. Number 6 went up 2 hours ago, 147 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted. Obama's, Clinton's, Biden and elites allegedly practice paedophilia. Number five went up a day ago, 155 people viewing. Bo Polny, Get Ready, All Hell is Breaking Loose in 24 Hours. Well, that went up a day ago. And unless he's talking about Mark Carney becoming the Prime Minister of Canada, I'm not sure of all hell having broken loose in the past 24 hours. Number four went up 10 hours ago, 170 people viewing. Michael Jaco Bombshell, Trump, RIP Deep State, bring them all down. Number three went up 3 hours ago, 182 people viewing. Charlie Ward and Derek Johnson, Get Ready, You Won't Believe What's Coming Soon. Yeah, it's always coming soon, a bit like Operation Trust, Trust the Plan. And this Charlie Ward guy, I understand he's British. He only popped up a few years ago before it's news. I've been following the independent media since I bought my first David Icke book in the early 2000s and saw the Secret Rulers of the World John Ronson documentary, I believe in 2001, was broadcast in the spring summer before, of course, 9/11 happened. And suddenly it's not just this guy, but so many people have popped up in recent years, and you think, I've only ever seen them on this supposed news aggregate site. And if it really was news aggregate, I'd expect to be seeing shows like Jeff Rentz at the top and all these other people that have got big audiences and have been around for donkey's years. But instead, we see all these other people who seem to sing off a very similar hymn sheet that are dominating this top 10. It's almost as if it's supposed to be voted on by people who view it. Well, we know that there are countries that employ teams of people to upvote and comment on articles, so it could well be that they're engineering this website to make sure the things they want people to listen to are up near the top and not the things that they don't. Maybe it's true, maybe it isn't, but I just find it strange. I always have with beforeitsnews.com that all the stuff I tend to listen to rarely appears on this website. Number two went up 10 hours ago, 479 people viewing. The Lost Gospel of Thomas That Changes Everything, Greg Braden. And number one went up 12 hours ago, 514 people viewing. Trump outsmarted them all in one single move. Okay, so I want to thank all of you for joining me on this bumper edition of I'm Talking To You, episode 205, this Monday, March the 10th, 2025, entitled Is the Trump Presidency Driving the Worldwide Liberal Agenda? I'll be back with you all tomorrow, and until then, folks, have a wonderful day, and bye for now.